First three questions, y'all are going into what are the key issues that cause these movements to develop? Who are the labor leaders? I mean, who were the leaders of those particular movements, and what was their thought pattern?
Yeah, I just like to add on to that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think the reason why we mentioned about the Revolutionary War and back in the day, because we who were involved in the civil rights movement or the human rights movement in the 60s, we stand on their shoulders. We learned, they gave us invaluable lessons that allow us to be successful now, just as what we did in the 60s and the 70s, we're allowing the Black Lives Matter movement to take it a step further. So I think that's very important. And just one other point I'd just like to make. Malcolm teaches us that the difference between the brothers in the North and the brothers in the Caribbean is a vote stop. You know, we have the same movement. We have the same involvement, but anyway, in terms of understanding the role that the Black lawyers played, and the role of the Great Migration, and the role of Paul Robeson, and all the other people, Steam Brothers mentioned, is important to us now and then.
Yeah, Carlos and Angel, Malcolm X talked about human rights. Yeah.
Well, actually, before I let him speak on it, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that this is the 70th anniversary year of the We Charge Genocide petition. Was brought to the United Nations by the Civil Rights Congress, which was one of the most comprehensive listing of all the lynchings that have been taking place in the United States. And they realized at the time, and Brother Minister Malcolm was to realize it years later, that you had to bring it to the international arena, bring it right to the United Nations. And that's going to be a subject of intense debate, I'm sure, hopefully this year, that we can start talking about what We Charge Genocide means, what it implies. And here's a little fun fact about the book We Charge Genocide that everybody should read. It's a hard read, but it's a worthy read. If you ever watched the movie Salt of the Earth, the 1954 film that talks about the struggle of the workers in New Mexico, and there's a part about halfway through the film during the union meeting, if you look very carefully at the desk at the front where their meeting is going on, you will see copies of We Charge Genocide on the table. So that's the freeze frame bonus. Okay, here he is.
Now, in reference to that, like he said, you remember the Sleeping Car Porters by Philip Randolph, and many of the labor leaders that were fighting for the very essence of just living, happening. Basically, we are wage slaves. Okay, from slavery, and then came wage slaves. And to this day, some of the, the Dixiecrats in the 60s, when I was marching with Dr. Martin Luther King and the Four People, the original Four People's Campaign of 1968, I remember that the Dixiecrats ruled the House and the Senate. And I remember, just to mention a point of truth, that I remember that we were beaten and we were put in jail. But when these so-called Confederate fascists marched into the White House, they just now, all of a sudden, recognizing their names and arresting them. But when we marched there, 5,000 of us were marching in the Four Futures Campaign and living in Resurrection City, they gave us hell. And I remember when they came and invaded. I can't forget that. It's 53 years now. Once they raided and tear gassed and bulldozed our city, Resurrection City, they got us out. And they were giving us one-way tickets to get the hell out of Washington, D.C. I don't forget that. I never forget that. These so-called, and these were the Dixiecrats. No other than that creep, Lyndon Baines Johnson, Gore Wood, and all those nuts and the Dixiecrats that were there. Just like we seen. I don't say nothing. I want the people to see it themselves. I remember that. And the House and the Senate were under the Dixiecrats Democrat machine. That's all I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I just like to
go ahead.
I was there also in Resurrection City. I remember it rained the whole time that we were there.
I know what you're talking about, brother.
Thank you. You know what I'm talking about.
I forgot.
I'm going to say, you know what we're talking about.
That's right.
But there were days that when the sun shined, I was there. I lived there until the end. So I can tell you that. What did Dr. Martin Luther King say? We have to have a revolution of values, not a me situation, but a collective of people working together for the basic right of being human rights, for the basic rights of having food, housing, education. It's true, some reform did come about, but now, 53 years later, there's about 150 million people starving, and I could even say more that are starving, without any kind of even love. What about the vaccines that many people are dying? 500,000 people died in the richest country in the world. It's a damn shame. Excuse my language.
All right. And you know, this is a historic, two people that was involved in the Poor People campaign in the 60s. This is very historic. Leon, I didn't know that. And we might have to have a whole discussion about this.
Oh, yeah.
Were you there?
Yeah, no. I'd like to footnote, though, Du Bois and Paul Robeson were the leaders in the human rights aspect. And they were the leaders. They took it to the UN.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yes.
And William Patterson.
But Du Bois was crushed. He never, you know. Robeson was crushed. And what did it bring about? What about this House HUAC committee, right?
That's correct.
Still with us today. And they began to crush and paint every black person as a leftist who was standing up for, you know. They even used Jackie Robinson, you know, when...
You mean that, Uncle Tom?
When Paul Robeson went before him, they told him to get out of the country. He told him, I'm a son of slaves, I was born here, I'll never leave. Well, they crushed him. Du Bois died in Ghana, happily. But that was a tipping point because Philip Randolph had won. His union had won, and he had V for victory for us. And that was really the march on Washington when Roosevelt called off because of what Brother Randolph did. But Du Bois never got back, and Robeson the same things. And the HUAC is still here. And if they can do it, they will hold these trials. So you got to remember history. That's 56. And we can get the book. we can get the book. All right.
Angel, you have some?
Well, this is just a really fascinating conversation. And I'm glad you pointed out that everybody's talking about before what the mass media just focused on, something that happened after the 1950s. And we had a very rich history. And this history also has a lot of unity in it. You know, Jesus Colon, in his writings, talked about the need for Black Puerto Rican unity. And those calls for unity are still valid for today. And we still need to talk about it. And talk about what is the makeup of the Black struggle. Again, there's a lot of focus we see in the personalities. But when you look at some of the older organizations, it was more about how do people collectively come to a sense that they had to come together and struggle. And look at Reconstruction. There's still a lot we don't know about it. Thankfully, Du Bois has a book about it. And there's still a lot more we need to study and look carefully. And as all the movements said, and the 1920s were a particularly fertile time for all this. And this was really a opportunity to see where people really started coming together. I mean, back in 1920, I think it was 1929, I don't mind now the year correct, there was a struggle going on in Haiti for its freedom from capitalist forces. And who got arrested in New York City for protesting against the imperialist incursion of Haiti, but blacks, whites, and Chinese workers. They're all arrested in solidarity. So this is an international solidarity for black struggle we need to talk about and commemorate.
Okay. Now, let me just move on to the next
list. would just like to say that in our struggle, joint struggle, black and Puerto Ricans, that Comrade Lynn was a Obiso Campos's lawyer.
I know that. I know that.
Yes. Yeah, he was Obiso Campos as lawyer, and he was the only one representing Obiso Campos. And
that's country. Right. That's right. Yeah. Thank you, Leon.
Okay.